Okay, welcome back. And this is unusual. We get to talk to Ted Brower after a wonderful night out on the town. This is kind of a post-date analysis. How are you? How'd it go? What'd you have for dinner? Come on,
oh,
I want
so
the truth.
Funny. Oh no, it was. I went over to Disney Springs, which I don't like going to Disney at all, but it's free. And of course, they put me through the metal detectors. I always do because I was one time I went over there and I absolutely refused to go through the metal detector. And I wasn't even armed that day. And they basically, I think they facial recognized me. And so every time I go over there now, they have to run me through the search thing. So I took a beautiful girl from Ukraine over there tonight, a beautiful woman. And of course, I told her before we got there I was going to go through the metal detector, and I did. And of course, they had to wand me down. It's another assault on my rights. And then we went to a seafood restaurant there at Disney Springs. And I'm not recommending Disney Springs. It's too crowded, and it's close to me. It was close to her, so it was easy. Right. And we had to get to the restaurant, and I ordered steak, and it was tough. She ordered salmon. It was good. I had to send the steak back. I ordered the salmon. It came back cold again. And then they said they had to get me another salmon. And then, like, right behind us on the table, some waiter drops an entire tray of glasses. We have glass shatter all over the floors. Goes up to our table. Oh, this was tonight. And and I had a great time. She was an absolutely wonderful lady. She's beautiful. She's Ukrainian. And we had a great time. And I got her back because I thought we were going to be on there with you tonight at 10. So I made sure she was back in her apartment at 10. And I was going to do the interview with you tonight, you know, in the car via the Wi-Fi in this car, which I do many times on my own show. And then I was blessed enough to be able to get home tonight and now do it here from the house at 11 o'clock instead. So the date went great. She was super nice. But the problem is, and I was dating the one girl for about 7 weeks. I told you guys that the last time, and I thought it was going well. Anybody can fool you for 30 days. If they're really good, they can make it for 60. Nobody can fool you for 90. And this turned into one of those. The last girl I went out with, it just turned into a big mess. And so I decided that I wasn't going to be involved with that one anymore. So that was, you know, that was gone. And now I've got, I'm going out with this one, and I've got a few more other girls I'm going out with, so I can make a decision on who I want to date again. So it's interesting. It's a never ending process, Jeff. And I this one, because she's from the Ukraine, she hasn't been Americanized, you know. And the last one, even though she was from Czechoslovakia, former Czechoslovakia, they call it Czech now. She'd been here about 15 years, and she'd gotten pretty Americanized. But this girl's only been over here for about a year now since the war started. And she was showing me pictures of her friends over there who had lost arms and legs and limbs, and they were in wheelchairs, and they were losing kidneys. And they're like, we're talking like 30-year-old men on dialysis, you know, missing body parts, kind of like with the carnage that occurred with World War One. The killing fields of Ukraine.
Very similar. And, very similar. Yeah, they're blowing these people to pieces.
Well, they got to get rid of the German DNA. I mean, that's what this is all about. That's what this is about, because, you know, Israel wants to make the Ukraine part of the greater Israel program, and they want to basically move a lot of, you know, Israelis over there instead of going into the West Bank.
They're getting rid of the Goyim, but we know that. 10 million have left Ukraine, including the lady tonight. And what do we have as a war? We have a World War One style meat grinder, and Zelensky and his Zionist crew are sending these poor Christians, which are now being drafted and conscripted from all over the country, ages 16 to 65, thrown in a uniform, given an AR, or an AK rather, and given a couple of weeks of training, and then they're just toast.
One of her relatives, the same thing. They will not let him leave because he's in his 30s. And they keep trying. They're pretty much, and I've read this in other places too, they're hiding in their houses because if they go out on the streets, they get conscripted. And it's getting rid of the German DNA. Because remember, a lot of these units over there were Nazi units. They were German units, and they were still, you know, loyal to Germany from World War II. And if the Jews come into there and they basically with Israel, and they take over the country. They don't want the Germans there. They don't want these people there. And they're actually running them, putting them in minefields. Now, they're not using the tanks for minesweepers. They're having to go out with like a metal detector and try to disarm these mines. And these guys, and also had a video of that. He showed me the other day where this guy jumps off this track from this one machine and lands right on top of a mine and blows his leg off. Right first thing he did, blows his leg off. And I asked her tonight, I said, did the guy who lose his leg, did he did it? Was it a mine? And she goes, I don't know. He didn't tell me. But it's a mess over there. And like you said,
what was odd is he was jumping off the back of an APC, a Bradley, I believe. And there was an explosion that had gone off earlier from a mine. These aren't huge bombs, but they're big enough to blow somebody to pieces. and the ground was in a big circular black spot where this mine had gone off earlier. And he figured, well, hell, there's not two mines there. There's just one, and it went off. So he specifically jumped off the back of the Bradley into the black circle. It was about 6-8 feet round. And lo and behold, there was another mine in there, and it blew his leg off. Blew the other one to shreds, too. I don't know how, if he's alive or not, but they don't care. The Zionist government over there doesn't care. This is a cleansing. Understand.
It's genocide. It's genocide. And I told that to the girl I was out with, and I said, this is genocide. It's a genocide of the Ukrainian people because they want that German influence out of that country.
What did she say to that? What did she say?
She said it was a genocide. She said the same thing. She said it was genocide. And she actually almost started crying at dinner. But that's just before the bad food and the dishes got crashed. I mean, and wow. So I felt bad for her. And it was an interesting experience tonight. I really enjoyed being with her. She was really a sweetheart. And and I thought to myself, this is sad. And I told her, I said, I'm so sorry this happened to you and your family and your friends. But by the grace of God, her dad has passed away now, probably from some type of COVID-related mess over there a few years ago with his heart. And now basically she's in a situation where her mom's here with her, but they don't live together. And so it's a very odd place. In fact, she invited me to go to the Russian Orthodox Church with her on Sunday morning, and I'm going to go. And I've never been to her. And she said the preacher preaches in Russian, but there's an English interpreter. And I said, well, I'll enjoy doing
that. I'd like to hear about that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you about it next time I come on, but it's going to be fun. But that's the one caveat now that I make, and it has to happen whenever I go out with somebody. If they're not willing to go to church or go to church with me or to serve Christ, then there's too big of a gap between us as far as trying to get along with them. And that was the problem with the last girl that I was with. She was going to church with me, but it's all because I wanted her to go, and she didn't want to go. And so that became an issue. And that wasn't going to be an issue with me, because if that happens at that point, I don't want to mess with it anymore, because it's just there's too big of a chasm between us, and there's no reason to try to fix that, you know, when you don't have to, you know, just there's not. I mean, I can pray for her at a distance, and I still do, and I still hope and pray for her best, but I'm not going to sit there and try to force her or coerce her or ask her or plead with her to go to church. That's just not my style. If they don't want to go, that's fine with me. I'm just not going to date them. So that's interesting.
You said something else that does, I think, merit just a slight revisit. And that's that people can hide things for 30 days, maybe 60 days. And when you're in a dating operational mood, as you are, you never know these people, what they're really made of, until they either crack or you begin to see through them, and it can be 30 or 60 days. That's your general rule of thumb. They can hide it for 30 to 60 days.
The state of Florida. They give us, as an employer here in the state, I've been in business for 42 years. They give us the ability to have somebody work for us for up to 90 days without having to be forced to pay them unemployment. Okay, so because they know that, you know, it takes 90 days to determine if the employee is going to work or not. It's the same thing with a dating relationship. Anybody can fool you for 30 days if they really want to be with you, okay? Right, if they're really, really good, they can fool you for 60. The last girl I was with couldn't do it. She was 7 weeks, you know, it was 49 days, and it went apart. I mean, let me give you one example. And this is just, I'm not going to go into any details with it, because, I mean, this is a good, nice girl, and I don't want to, you know.
No names here. Nobody knows who it is.
I take her to the Cracker Barrel to get some eggs. Because I had breakfast, and, you know, I was, you know, had gone to a funeral, and I had to do the show that morning, and I take her to the Cracker Barrel to get some eggs, and, you know, she sat there and tried to order an egg white omelet. Well, they don't have egg white omelets at Cracker Barrel, and then she just started crying because she couldn't get an egg white omelet. I mean, this is the breakfast table, and I'm trying to get ready for the show, and she's crying at the table.
Now, this is the first time she's shown any emotion like that, a crying emotion.
No, she showed a couple of emotional outbursts like that, but nothing like that, not in public. This is a restaurant full of people. And she starts crying so badly, she just put her sunglasses on. And I said, okay, we're leaving. And she says, well, you haven't eaten yet. And I said, I'm not going to eat. I said, I can just pay the bill and leave. I said, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm not going to have a crying woman in Cracker Barrel with me. And so, of course, with less than 5 days, you know, that was the end of that relationship. But the point was this. It's just, you know, it took her like, you know, 49 days to show who she was. And I kept telling her. You know, she wanted me to, like, you know, make a really, you know, serious commitment to her and all that kind of stuff. And I've had seven of these women now that I've gone out with since Sharon passed away that wanted me to marry them. And I always say to them, look, here's the deal. I don't know you. You know, I mean, I had one of them after 5 days, they wanted to marry me. And I say to them, I say, look, I don't want to marry you. I don't even know who you are. I got to date you for at least 90 days and probably up to 5 months to a year before I would ever make any kind of commitment to you. I mean, my wife hasn't even gone for a year yet. And they tell me this is what they tell me, Jeff. They say, well, you don't exist in the dating pool. You know, you were married for a long time and you're a widower. You know, you're not a player and you want to be with a single woman and, you know, you're successful. And therefore, we want to date you and we want to marry you. And my response is, just stop it. Let me get over my wife first. It's kind of like I've got a lithium battery that got discharged into Sharon, the love of my life. And I've got to recharge that battery. I've got it on a trickle feed right now, trying to recharge it. But you know, Sharon will be gone for a year in August, and it's been a rough year for me. And luckily, by the grace of God and God alone, I've gone out with enough girls and women, et cetera, that I've had the ability now just to, you know, to try to sort through my mind of what I want to have back in my life. And quite frankly, I want somebody else like Sharon. Well, that's not going to happen. You know, that's a different generation and a different group of people. And I've learned something. You know, whether they're, you know, 50 or 60 years old, you know, they have different things going on in their lives. They may have grandkids. They may still have a job. They may have different things. But the older they are, they end up basically being very set in their ways, like they're pouring concrete, and they don't want to change anything. And one of them that I went out with said, I am who I am. I'm not going to change. If you like me, you like me. If you don't like me, you don't like me. If you don't want to date me, don't go date somebody else. But I'm not going to accommodate or try to change anything for you. And I'm like, that's great. So that was, I said, I got to go now. Goodbye. Because that's what a relationship is. It's about reciprocity. Uh-huh. It's about giving 100% both directions. It's what it is. I mean, I give you 100%, but you don't give me anything. Okay, well, that's the pits. Well, you give me 100%, I don't give you anything. That's wrong too. That's how I had such a great marriage with my wife. It was 100% her way with what she wanted. It was 100% my way with what I wanted. I put her needs above mine. She put my needs above hers. And we're always giving to each other. And that's because we had two givers who were married. Now, if a giver marries a taker, who all they want to do is take, pretty soon the giver gives out because they've had enough of it, and the marriage goes sideways. And the giver stops giving, and the taker doesn't have anybody to take from. The taker will go find somebody else and have an affair on the giver just to go ahead and take more stuff. It's just sickening.
It's really sickening.
Dating in 2023 is like the minefield we talked about in Ukraine. You think you hop into the spot that's safe, and boom, it goes off again. And you go, what the heck just happened, you know? And it's sad to me because, I mean, the Christianity part of it is so very, very important to me. And I told the girl tonight, I said, the reason I really, really like you, besides the fact that you're stunningly beautiful Ukrainian, I didn't say that to her, is the fact that you wanted to go to church. And you want me to go to church with you. I said, I like that because that tells me where your heart and where your soul and where your spirit is. And she's very, very much a lady, a very polished lady. I like that. And that's what I like about, you know, having the ability to go to different dating sites. You know, now there's several of them. Like I told, I'm going to say this again. There's one company out there called It's Just Lunch. Complete and total waste of money. Don't give them a penny, period. It's Just Lunch. Nightmare program. Absolute waste of money. That's like a matchmaking service. Then you've got Match.com. That's okay. And eHarmony is yuck. So Match is about the best one that I've tried. And it's interesting to me because you basically but with the whole thing like I mentioned before with you guys, if you're going to date, put the age down for yourself the bracket that you want to date in. So if you're 55 and you want to date a 50-year-old, put down you're 50, and put down in the bottom of the description, I've changed my age for the algorithms. Just say it, you know, my age is not accurate. I based it on algorithms. That way you put a disclaimer in there. That way they're not going to say, well, you didn't tell me that your age wasn't accurate. Because if you put down you're 60 years old, they'll try to pair you up with 70-year-olds. It's just the weirdest thing you've ever seen. So just be really careful when you first fill out those forms. Because once you change your age, put your age in there, you can't change it. They won't let you. So they won't let you adjust the algorithms. So be very careful. Uh-huh. Now, if you want to be 65 and you want to date 70-year-old women or 70-year-old men, just put down your real age. That's what you're going to get. The problem you're going to run into is most of the people that are over the age of 60 have health problems. Like, I don't take any medications. My blood pressure is 120 over 60. My heart rate's like, you know, 58 to 62 beats a minute. I work out 6 days a week. I mean, I don't fit in the bell curve of people my age because I've taken care of myself my whole life. And so I don't want to date somebody who's sick. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? I'm like, well, listen to me. If I know somebody's sick, and before I start dating them, and I know they're going to die, why do I want to do that again? You know, Austin said that to me the other day. He says, Dad, don't date older women that are sick. He goes, we've already gone through the funeral with Mom. We don't want to do that again. And he's right. I'd rather date somebody who's healthy. Now, you don't have to be young to be healthy. You'd be 60 and be healthy. You'd be 50 and be healthy. But, you know, you could be 65 and be healthy. But so many people who have, you know, past the age of 60, they have massive health problems all the time. And it's sad to me. They're tired. They're exhausted. They have
Hashimoto's disease. Well, 80% of them have been vaxxed. They've been shot up, too. So you got that.
Oh, I know. And I know. And I know. It's just one of those deals. And the last girl I was out, she had not been vaccinated, but she turned just, you know, I mean, I didn't know which personality I was going to get. I had like four different distinct, and that's not an exaggeration, four different distinct personalities. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, so-and-so's got many personalities. Well, that's not normal. That's about as bipolar as a guess, or quadpolar, I guess you'd call it. And what's funny about it is that I'm always the same. Every time I've ever been on your show, I'm the same. And I told the lady I was out with tonight, I said, I'm always the same. I said, if you don't like me the way I am right now, you won't like me the way I am tomorrow, because I'm going to be exactly the same. And what's nice about that, and you're the same way, Jeff, you're always the same. What's nice about that is it gives you stability in your life, and it gives the person that you're dating stability, because they know they're not going to get somebody else the next day when they wake up.
That's almost priceless anymore. That's very rare.
But boy, that last one, that was stable. I saw four distinct personalities in her.
Well, she threw a fit. I didn't get my way. So what does she do? She starts crying in public. Come on. Yeah, you would have been within your rights to run out the door. That's crazy.
Actually, I did walk out the door. I said, I'm leaving. I'm not going to sit here. I said, I'm not going to eat. I said, I can't deal with this. But she had a real bad relationship with her dad. And I found out all that after.
See, there's another problem. Are these questions you must? You're pretty smart about this by now. You've learned a lot. But one of the first things you want to ask is, how is your relationship with your parents? Of course.
Right. And the other thing too, I've learned a lot too with these girls from other countries. If their mom is over here with them and their father's passed away or dead or whatever, a lot of times they're going to require you to help, if you get married to them, to help support the family, including the mother. And it's just weird how they do that. I know a lot of Thai customs and Filipino customs are like that, and a lot of the Eastern European bloc, like Ukraine or Czech or Poland, that happens too. Because if you have very, very tight knit family structures, which is okay, I like that. But you know, that's something you got to be aware of when you step into it. You know what I'm saying? And that was one of the big final things that happened with the last girl I dated. I mean, her mom came into town, and it's like I had personality number five show up. I mean, it was crazy. That's completely different. She was the other four personalities, and I couldn't keep track of the personalities. There's too many of them.
I don't want to go into it, but I understand what you're saying. Then
I found out that her past was really kind of weird, with some weird stuff that she was involved in out in Hollywood, some things that she was involved in as a model, and I realized that she was probably involved in things that, you know, on the dark side she should have been involved in, and you start learning all this stuff. You start figuring this stuff out as you date these girls, and you're like, wow, okay, that was need to know. Why didn't you tell me that up front? But they don't do that. It all comes out.
Puts on the face that they think is the most marketable, desirable that they can create, and that's what you see. And you're kind of stuck. You got to read between the lines. You got to wait. You got to be patient, and it'll usually come out. Hopefully, sooner rather than later. You waited a long time with this last one, though. I know. It's silly, but you have that Ukrainian lady call me or any of them, and I'll tell them who you are. I'll give them third-party corroboration.
Thank you, Jeff. You would, too. I know you would. But yeah, it was so funny.
They don't know. They have questions, too.
The first time I went out with her, it was the second date I had this week with her. The first time I went out with her, I didn't even tell her my name. I didn't tell her anything.
And, no kidding.
No, I don't. I just tell my first name. I don't go.
No, you should never put your celebrity out there. That's I don't do that. That's going to trip you up.
Well, I told her. She asked me, if what I did. I told her I wrote a book, and of course, I didn't tell her I wrote a bunch of books. And she wanted to see the book, and I pulled up some of the books, and she goes, "Wow, you've written a lot of books." I'm like, "Well, yeah." She goes, "Wow," and I'm like, "Well, yeah, I've been doing this for a long, long time." And so she was actually shocked because I didn't say anything to her about that the first time I met her. And I just didn't make a big deal about it because there's no point. Because I want to see if there's any chemistry first. I mean, I don't even want to know who I am on the first date. Just that there's, and I don't pick them up on the first date. I always have them meet me somewhere in a neutral location, you know, in a restaurant. And that way, you know, if I don't like them, I can just, you know, pay the bill and say, nice meeting you. I got to go, which I've done many times. And my shortest date was 180 seconds. And I got catfished on that one. And it was 3 minutes. And I drove down to Sarasota to meet this girl who basically I knew her friends. And I knew a bunch of people she knew. And she was in the seminar field with me. And when I got down there, she didn't tell me that she sent me a bunch of pictures of herself. And by the time I got down there to see her, she had gained about 80 pounds. And it was, and she didn't do it 1 week. I'm not joking. This isn't a joke. And she straight catfished me. And so I basically walked in, saw her, talked to her about 3 minutes and said, I got to go. That was it. And I was real nice to her. I just said, I got to go. And, you know, and if she had sent me a picture of what she looked like, I would have never, ever gone down there.
I understand.
Real picture.
Well, that's called fraud. You don't do
well, it is. Well, no, it is. And the other day I had another one that I set up, and the picture I got was 20 years old. And that date was 12 minutes.
Fraud at the inducement is what it is. That's what.
Well, yeah. And I said that was 12 minutes, and now that was like through a matchmaking service, and that was one of those It's Just Lunch disasters. And basically, they got 20-year-old photos. And she told me, I saw the showed the picture to her. She goes, oh, that picture's from a long time ago. And I'm like, that's nice. And she was real pretty in the picture, not so much in the real life.
I mean,
when you know. And so I just, but she was nice. I wasn't mean to her. We had some water. We talked for a few minutes, and I did have my car in the shop, and I had to go get it. So I told her I needed to go ahead and leave, and that was it. But that was interesting. But those are my two shortest dates. And most of them, I try to be respectful. But the only time that happens, Jeff, is when I've been defrauded. I don't like that. You know, when something happens, and I get somebody there who basically is not they're supposed to be.
That's disgusting. Totally. Totally.
Well, it'd be like if I give them a picture of me as a bodybuilder in college, right? Which I'm in great shape still, but I don't look like that anymore. And, you know, and I say, oh, here's a current picture of me, and I show up 20, 30 years later as what I look like now. To be like, well, that wasn't really honest. I'm like, well, you're still me, but there I am. You know, well, you don't look like that now. Well, no, I'm in great shape. I can still curl 100 pounds for 8 reps, and I take no meds, and I'm in great shape, but I don't like that anymore. And see, to me, it's just fraud. And I don't do that. All my pictures that I post online are current as far as the dating sites and the stuff I'm on. And I just make sure that I look like I look in the photographs. All my pictures, my pictures are current, and I'm really nice to everybody. And if you do it that way, it makes a lot more sense, and it's a lot easier from a a dating standpoint. But but you, when you tell somebody you're religious, that you're spiritual, and then I go out with you, and I find out you've been to church like twice in your entire life, and you were involved in black arts, and you don't want to go to church now. I mean, it's just crazy stuff, right? You kind of like, well, that's not really what you told me you were. You know, I don't really want to deal with that. But it was interesting. I can't tell you. I'll tell you off the air. But it's just some of the stuff that she told me about, the stuff she was involved in, it was crazy. And I'm like myself, I'm like, I don't want to be a mess. This is getting really weird, you know? And so then you get then you get some of them that you gone out with, they call you back, you know, a month, 2 months later, they want to go out with you again, and you don't want to get back into that quagmire again. And so it's just a weird situation. And the fastest one I've had who wanted to get married was 5 days. And, I just told her, I said, I don't even know you. I met you on Thursday. It's Monday. And, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, it's 5 days. I said, you want me to marry you, commit to marriage. I said, I can't do that. And I don't even know you. So that was
not at all. Not at all.
What happens is this, when they're in their 50s or 60s or whatever, and they want to get married, maybe for the second or third or fourth time, they want to go ahead and make sure that they're stable at the last marriage, because they want to have a stable relationship and a stable income and a stable everything else. And so they want to make sure they lock somebody down. And when you're a widower, I think they think you're fair game, because they think that you're going to just jump into another relationship. And I've had friends do that who are widowers. They get married right away after their wife dies. And then what ends up happening, it turns into a disaster. I have a friend of mine, he's a black guy, and he did that about 3 or 4 months, 5 months after his wife passed away. He got remarried, and now she's already had him thrown in jail multiple times for spousal abuse, and he never touched her.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Now they're getting divorced. He told me, he says, Ted, I've ruined my life. He said, I have the one most wonderful wife in the whole world, and I've ruined my life. And yesterday I was at the airport. It's the hangar, where I used to keep my plane parked.
Right.
I was talking to three other pilots over there, And then we were talking about, about Sharon. They all knew Sharon. And they said, and they all looked at me, and they said, "All we want is Sharon." That's what they said. I looked at them. I said, "All I want is another Sharon." I said, "I had the most wonderful wife in the world." So we never argued about anything. I said, "It was amazing." Yeah. And they said, "Well, you had a great one." I said, "Well, yeah, I had her for over 30 years, and it was wonderful." And I said, I love her with all my heart, and I still do. And I said, "But the problem is, she spoiled me." I remember, Jeff, because, Sharon was a supermodel. You saw her picture. She was stunningly beautiful. And was always, and she always looked 20 years younger than me. And it was crazy. I loved it. And she took really good care of herself. And sometimes some people say she looks 30 years younger than me. Now, I was okay with that, too. And it was so funny because, everybody go somewhere. I drive up and people come open the door and then Sharon would get out. She's like, she was 35 years old. I'm like 60. Right. And so they would see her and so they might be staring at her. And then I would get out and okay, I'm the older guy that's got the trophy wife. and I would laugh because the world was in balance. Right. And I thought myself, I'm a year older than her. It was fun. And it was really fun because I really enjoyed that. I was so blessed to have her. I remember I told her when we first started dating, I told her, I said, "Are you really like this?" Because she was the most beautiful woman I've ever met that was nice. She was really nice. Mm-hmm. And I said, "I've never met anybody who's really beautiful who's nice. You see, everybody who's beautiful is like crazy."
Well, they're all devious. They're all plotters, schemers.
But Sharon wasn't.
They trade on their looks.
Sharon was just, she wasn't like that. I mean, she'd get out, she'd muck a stall. She'd go out there with the horses and, muck a stall, pick up the poop, do all that stuff when she was in college. I mean, she'd work on the ranch all the time up in North Carolina, the acreage we have up there. And she'd be out there, digging ditches and stuff. And I mean, she was, what's that old Abilene commercial? She could fry up the bacon and, bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan and never let you forget you're a man. She was that girl. And she was amazing. And, she won the U.S. Open. She was first place in weapons competition at the U.S. Open World International Martial Arts Championship. First place. She was a black belt in karate. And she was amazing.
That's just astonishing.
She wrote like 8 books. And she was a published author. I mean,
hold on. You sent me a couple personal videos of her, and they were just adorable. Wonderful. I get it.
That was just saying,
But how is someone, you unload what you just unloaded on me, and no one's listening, just me. And you tell someone you're dating that, how are they going to try and to work around that?
No one wants to have to compete with a ghost. I don't bring Sharon up. I don't do that.
Well, you're going to have to at some point.
I just don't do it. I mean, the last girl I was with, she never saw those videos. She saw one picture of Sharon like one time. That was it. Mm-hmm. You can't do that, Jeff. You can't talk about that Sharon was 5'8", 120 pounds, blonde hair, blue eyes, supermodel. Mm-hmm. She was like 36, 24, 36. She was like perfect. And she was amazing. And so she was the love of my life. She was my true love. So I can't compare her to anybody else because I can't.
No, it's not fair to anyone.
All I'm looking for now is compatibility. That's it. Compatibility and a like-mindedness and a Christian value.
You want a good friend. Come on.
A good friend. I want to be in shape. I want her to be pretty.
You like beauty. That's understandable.
As far as the age is concerned, I don't care anymore. I just want to be in the middle of God's perfect will for my life. I mean, I've dated different age groups now, and they've all got pros and cons.
The issue of health is to me maybe the biggest, next to basic integrity. But health is huge.
Well, no, if they're not healthy, I mean, Sharon had degenerative brain disease. I've talked about it on the show, but I don't want to talk anything else about that tonight. And so it got bad for her, at the end. And the reality was that I don't want to deal with that again. That was a 5-year process, and I don't want to deal with that again.
And if I
got to go 10 years or 20 years younger than me, I don't care. It doesn't make a difference to me. Because I'm in great shape and I'm in great health. But the reality is that, I'm like you. I want, number one, is I want them to be godly. That's number one. Number two, I want them to be healthy. I don't care about the age. Don't care. Number three, I want them to be in shape. I want them to eat clean and work out and have some common values with me. What I'm saying? I want them to be awake. I don't want them to be vaccinated.
You're looking for a needle in a haystack.
Oh, I know.
Brother.
Oh, that's a tough one. But the thing about it is that I'm not in any rush. You know, it's not even been a year yet since Sharon passed away. As far as I'm concerned, I would just soon just, you know, wait on the Lord. You renew my strength. Wait on the Lord. You know, mount up with
let him call the shots for you. I agree.
That's exactly right. If you do it that way, what ends up happening is you don't get all wrapped up in this stuff. You go, okay, well, great. I dated her for 7 weeks. It didn't work out. Oh, well, I'll try to be friends with her, which, by the way, doesn't work. I've learned that now, too. And it's just, it doesn't work that way.
No, it does not. Ego. Too big of an ego angle. Can't do it.
How old is Miss Ukraine,
approximately?
Too young. She's too young. Too young. But that's okay. I'm not going to tell you the ages. But she could be... You know, 50-ish. It doesn't matter. But the reality is that I've learned that, you know, I want to be in God's perfect will for my life, regardless of the age. And so that's how I look at this thing. And I've learned this too. Whether they're 40 or 50 or 60, if you go out to dinner, it's going to cost the same. And if you're going out basically just on a date to try to get to know somebody, what difference does it make? You know, I'm not ready to get married again. You know, I don't know if I'll ever get married again. I mean, I don't know what to do with all that. You know, I mean, after you have Miss U.S. Open winner, you know, as your wife, you know, author of 7 or 8 books, studying the beautiful. I mean, why would you go back into another marriage situation that, you know, basically could not end? Because God was married once before Sharon for 3 years. It was a disaster. And, I'd rather end on a high note. But I may get married again. I don't know. It hasn't been a year yet. And I promised my family that I would not make that decision until I was at least 2 years out of 2 years from Sharon's passing. And so I've got another year for that. But that's why when these 7 women pushed me to get married to them already, I'm like, I can't do that. I'm not even over Sharon yet. And so it's interesting because you have the grieving process. I really thought I could cheat it. I did. I thought, well, I don't have to go through this process. Man, was I wrong. You know, the first year, the first birthday, the first Easter, the first Thanksgiving, the first Christmas, all that stuff, it really, really, really racks on your nerves when you don't have the wife of many, many years with you anymore. And so it's a strange situation. But no, I would love to date, you know, one of my listeners. I would love to do that, you know, because that at least would be like-minded, you know. And I've got one lady down in Palm Beach that, you know, I'm probably going to. I'm gonna figure out how to just about 200 miles away, which is the problem. And I would love to meet her and talk to her. And she's a nice lady. I've talked to her pretty much every night, and she's really, really nice. But I haven't decided to date anybody seriously again.
See, that's another thing. Just from my perspective here, which is, you know, watching your whole geopolitical, military, spiritual self is very unique. Very, very unique. And I don't know how you're going to find anyone who is intellectually going to be able to sit down with you and enjoy the things that you intellectually enjoy. That's going to be tough in and of itself.
I found one girl in Palm Beach is like that. And she has been vaccinated. And she's a PhD. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking forward to meeting her too. But right now I'm not dating anybody seriously. I'm just going out with a few different girls, women. Right. And I just want to be in the middle of God's will. And one of them asked me the other day, another real pretty one, blonde hair, blue eye one, real pretty. She asked me, she goes, well, you don't seem nervous at all. I said, no. And I said, I find you, you know, attractive. I don't find you necessary. I said, my wife was, you know, as pretty, if not prettier than you. And I said, so I'm used to being with pretty. And she goes, well, what makes you nervous? And I said, not much makes me nervous. She said, well, there has to be something that makes you nervous. And I said, yeah, there is. Being outside of God's perfect will for my life. And she looked at me kind of funny, and she was a one-day wonder. I went out with her one time, and then that was a long story too. And she got too serious too fast. And I told her, I said, "Well, I said that's what makes me nervous is being outside of God's perfect will for my life, and that should make everybody nervous, because you know, I mean, we should always be here to try to do what God's will is for our life, and that's how I see it. So the one girl down in Palm Beach, she's real sweet, and she got a real sweet Christian, you know, perspective on things. She goes to church. And, you know, I may date her. The problem is that's the distance again. You know, I think it's 150 miles to where she is from my house. And so that's a problem. You know, that's a long drive, especially in heavy traffic. Like tonight in Orlando, it was a 35-mile drive, right? It took a full hour to get there because the traffic is so bad on I-4.
You've spoken to this lady in several times.
Well,
the
I mean,
one you're talking
fast,
about,
I mean,
Palm
I've
Beach.
Two, I've had two oh, Palm, oh, yeah, Palm Beach, I talk to her all the time. And, and if she was already closer, I would already be going out. We're trying to coordinate our schedule to try to find out. Because what the thing about it is, Jeff, and you know this as well as I do, you could talk to somebody on Skype, you could talk to somebody on Zoom, you could talk to somebody over the telephone if you're blue in the face. You can FaceTime them, but you can't tell if you got chemistry until you meet them. Chemistry only happens with you with somebody, and quite frankly, that is going to sound kind of personal, but until you kiss them, you really don't know what kind of chemistry you got. And that's the thing is that, you know, if you know the chemistry's there, you know, and you know them, then you're more willing and more likely to drive, you know, an hour and a half or whatever to see somebody. But you know, if there's no chemistry, what's the point? And that's why I always now require, if I'm going to drive to see somebody, I require at least a video chat to start with, because I want to see if they look like their pictures after that one girl decided to catfish me with the additional 80 pounds over her photographs. And I don't do that anymore. I had driven 80 miles to Sarasota to meet this girl. And I was pretty aggravated when I turned around and came back after 180 seconds. And it just aggravates me that people do stuff like that. Don't they know that they're going to meet you and that you're going to know they don't look like their photographs? And so I had a girl the other day. She said, "Well, I don't want to do the video interview with you." And I said, "Okay, then we're not going to meet. I'm not driving to Sarasota again to talk to you if I haven't seen you yet on videotape." She's not going to do it. I don't have any interest in it because I'm not that guy. I said, "If you want to meet me halfway, I don't mind meeting you halfway, but I'm not." It's like a 40-mile drive for each of us. I said, "That's not a big deal." I said, "I don't have to do video Skype for that." But I said, "If it's going to be an hour and a half drive, we're going to video Skype first. And it only has to be for, you know, 30 seconds just to verify the identity and who they are."
Called electromagnetic energy, whatever you want to call it. There's a chemistry that extends very deep and in ways that most people don't understand. You're right. You have to physically be near somebody to understand them.
I like dating the girls from other countries. And I mean, because they're just, they haven't been Americanized with the Franklin
School. I'm sure that's very refreshing. And it would absolutely
it's just different. Now, this last one, the one I was with for 7 weeks, the one that I was with 7 weeks, she was pretty Americanized. By the time I got to know her, she was pretty, I mean, crying in the Cracker Barrel because she doesn't want to have eggs.
No. Oh, God. You
know? And here's the thing. She's had eggs before at my house. She's over here. We cooked before. We've had eggs. Okay. Uh-huh. It wasn't like she wouldn't eat eggs. Uh-huh. It's just that she didn't want to be at that restaurant. And I'm like, this is just ludicrous.
She threw a fit. Meltdown.
Well, she didn't like fall on the floor kicking, but she was sitting there crying.
No. She still did the same. I'm not getting my way, and I'm not happy.
And she breaks down and
starts crying. No. That's called a lack of maturity.
Then I told her, I said, "Let's go ahead and leave. I'll go and just pay for the meal. Let's go back. And I'll do the show." And she goes, no, if you need to stay here. She grabs my hand and like holds on to it. No, you don't need to. You need to have. I said, "No, we're leaving." I said, you've made a spectacle of yourself. I can't deal with this.
I'm sure that you were taking her out over those 7 weeks to some very nice places. And she probably felt that this was beneath what she wanted in life. It was a Cracker Barrel.
It's a redneck restaurant that serves eggs. I love the place, right? I know you probably don't have them out west where you are, but we have them all over the south here.
Yeah, we do. They're here. I've never been at one, but they're here.
Yeah, I mean, years ago, I remember we had a lady who wanted to come across our easement on our property, and she had her own entrance on the other side of the property. She didn't have to use our easement. We told her no, and she started pitching such a fit. It was raining that she fell on the ground kicking and screaming on the ground until she passed out and went unconscious. Austin saw this. I don't make stuff up. I never do. And she was unconscious. So the ambulance had to come take her away, covered in mud. And she fell on the ground, kicking and screaming, sucking
this
grass.
This is a neighbor?
Yeah, just a Looney Tunes.
Oh, my.
And I had heard about that one other time with another neighbor who was a spokesperson for the sheriff's department. Her name was Susan. And she did the same thing, you know, over a doggone your county building permit. And she fell on the ground, and the guy told me, who was the county building inspector, that she fell on the floor in his office, kicking and screaming, sucking rug, banging like a child, pounding her fist into the rug.
I said to him,
"You don't." His name was Gerald. I said, "Gerald, you don't mean on the floor kicking and screaming." He goes, "Ted, on the floor kicking and screaming like a 5-year-old." I always wondered if he told me the truth until I saw our neighbor do it by the gate. in the rain until she passed out, and the ambulance came and took her away.
That's some severe mental psycho-emotional problems.
Arrested
development. Arrested development.
Now that's pitching a fit. And what was funny is that, you know, the girl I was with the other day, she didn't do that. She just started crying so bad she had to put sunglasses on. Mm-hmm. She had tears streaming down her face. And I looked at her and said, that's it, we're leaving. I said, I don't want to
get in my way.
No, so it's like a child, like an impetuous five-year-old. That's why, and I knew, and of course, within 5 days, I was broken up with her. I knew when that happened that that was the final trigger. I had had enough of it. And
well,
Now I was seven weeks into it, and I started to realize this was her real personality, all four of them. And I finally met number five, too. And number five was really mean, by the way. And so you got all these different layers of Eve, I guess you'd call them. You kind of wonder what the heck happened to her and how she has so many multiples. Then you start realizing she was involved in weird stuff in Hollywood. You think, well, I hope they didn't do something to her and fracture her out there. But this girl was like,
I think that that would be enough to drive anybody with common sense away. A Hollywood incarnation?
Yeah.
No.
But it's a really weird really weird situation when they're in something like that, and you try to fix them today,
and I know what it is. I agree.
I got it. And no, I'm not going to bring that up on the air. But the point is, it's just you got to know some background on some of these people, what they're involved in. That's why if they're going to church on a regular basis, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. I like that. If they don't want to go to church on a regular basis, why are you going to try to change them? If they're 45 or 55 years old and they don't want to go to church and you're asking them to go to church. I had this one girl, she was 47, and I brought her to church on Easter Sunday. And she was raised in, I forgot where it was, in the Netherlands or someplace. They don't go to church over there much either. But she was born in Eastern Bloc country. And I told her, I said, if she wanted to go out with me, I said, I'll go out with you, but I'll take you to church. And I said, now, if you don't go to church with me, if you don't become a Christian, I've talked about this on the show before already, Jeff. And I said, I'm not going to date you. And so coming back from church, she goes, well, I don't see any point in going to church. And I said, okay, we're done. And I said, she had driven about an hour and a half to get there to the house. And she was staying in the guest quarters. I mean, no physical stuff going on. And I told her, I said, I tell you what, just watch you head on back home. I said, there's no point. If you're not going to accept Christ and know who Jesus is, I can't date you. So there's no point in even wasting each other's time anymore. I'm that adamant because I don't want to be involved with somebody who's not going to be at least going to church with me, Jeff. I don't have any interest in it.
You have to be adamant. You have to lay down the rules. You have to.
Well,
I
pray for your listeners every day. I pray for my listeners every day. Don't get me wrong. I'm not religious, but I am very, very committed to God. I mean, God's not about religion. It's about a relationship. I have a great relationship with the great I am, with God Almighty and with Jesus. And to me, that's the most important thing in my life. And of course, the second most important thing in my life will be my wife, like it was with Sharon. And the third would be my grandchildren, my family, et cetera. And below that would be, the business and all the other stuff that we do. And that's how I have my priorities lined up. So if my priorities are lined up with God first, if somebody doesn't want to fall into that priority lineup with me, then all I'm going to do is be miserable with them the rest of my life. And I'm going to be wondering why in the world that I start dating you.
One false step and your life will be ruined. Ruined.
Well, that's right.
I'm speaking for both sides. I'm not just talking only for Ted. It's got to work for both. Or it works for none.
Well, no, and that's why I don't want to be in a situation where I feel as though I'm being coerced after 5 days to get married to somebody. That's nonsense.
That's just a little bit. That's an obvious red flag. Goodbye. No.
Well, no, and it's funny because I talked to that girl today, the same one again, who wanted to marry me after 5 days, and she's still going through guys, and she hasn't found anybody yet that she wants to marry. And the other problem that you run into is this, Jeff. You try to find the perfect mate. All right. Well, Sharon was a great lady. I loved her, but she wasn't perfect. And there's no such thing as a perfect mate. And so that's what the other thing I always tell people is that, you've got to find somebody who's got shared values, who's compatible with you, who you don't argue with all the time, who you're attracted to physically. Those are the most important things. And there's no such thing as perfect, perfect, perfect. It doesn't exist that way. I've learned that a long, long time ago. And if you're willing, like I said at the beginning of the show, to give 100% both directions, it's a really good you have a really good marriage and a really good relationship with someone, but you've got to be willing to give 100%. I've got a friend of mine who lives close, and she's been in this relationship for like 15 years. The guy won't marry her. And this lady's wonderful. She's brilliant. And she's one of our listeners. And every once in a while, she'll text me, and she'll say, she'd come to share his funeral. And she'll say, I can't believe he's done this and he's done that. I said, I'm so sorry. I said, all you can do is pray about it and make a decision on what you want to do. I said, but you've got to make choices here, and that's the thing, isn't it? That we all have to make choices. And sometimes I would rather live quietly and peacefully in my own home than have somebody screaming and yelling at me. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that. Or somebody who's crazy living with me. I mean, I don't want somebody, I'm going to marry somebody that be standing over me with a gun one night. What the heck is that all about? I don't want to deal with all that crazy nonsense. You got to know somebody. You got to know them very, very well before you start, making commitments with them long-term wise. And that's how I see it. And you have to be in church with them. And I have my pastor here.
Go ahead.
Pastor Reich was here the other day. He's from the Lutheran Church. Great guy. Uh-huh. And he told me, he said that, I told him about the girl I was dating. He goes, no, that was not for you. I'd already broken up with her anyhow. He goes, that was not for you. He says, if she doesn't want to come to church and wants to be there and wants to come on a regular basis, he goes, what's the point? He says, there's no point in being involved with that. I said, I know, you're right. And he's right. I mean, because, you don't want to – trying to get somebody to convert to Christianity so they can date you is difficult. It's arduous at best. It's difficult. And then if the commitment's not really there from their spirit or from their spirit man, from their soul, then as soon as – if they ever did marry you, they would just stop going to church anyhow. They say, well, I don't want to do that anymore. And I mean, I've seen that happen with guys before. And that's why I put them on my dating apps. I want a true, polished lady. And I said, if your vocabulary consists of four-letter words, don't contact me. We're not a match. If you're still married, don't contact me. We won't be a match. If you basically are a stalker where you like to stay drunk all the time and drink all the time, don't contact me. We will not be a match. And so, I'm that adamant about it because I want people to realize that if you're going to go out, you need to be very clear. Why waste a bunch of time? I don't want to go out with a woman who gets drunk, And I'm going to say one more thing, too. I don't really drink. Every once in a while, I'll have a Bailey's or a glass of beer or a glass of wine. I'm talking like a couple times a year, if you go out with a man, ladies, and he's not drinking, there may be a reason he doesn't want to drink. Maybe he had a problem with alcohol. Maybe he doesn't like alcohol. Maybe he's a health guy. Maybe he works out all the time like I do. Maybe you don't need to drink alcohol with your date if your date doesn't order alcohol. Just mention that. And guys, same thing. If you go out with a lady, she doesn't want to drink, why do you have to booze it up and get drunk? Just stop that nonsense. And I've told them before. I said, I'm not going to buy you alcohol. I'm not going to do it. If you want to buy alcohol, buy it yourself. I'm not buying it. And I'm not going to do it. And so that's another thing. Just think about how you're affecting the person you're with. And some people, all they want to do is go out and have two or three drinks when they go out. You spend $50, $60 on drinks. It's ridiculous. Before they even eat.
Not experienced it, but I've heard it all my life.
Oh, yeah, but
it's a lubricant to take the stress off people, and they can't relax unless they're swacked. Unfortunately, that's not healthy at all.
Well, it doesn't kill brain cells. I asked the girl I was with tonight. I said, you drink? She goes, very, very rarely. She goes, I don't like it. It's a neurotoxin. It's a poison. I'm like, okay, you're right.
Tonight said that?
Yes, huh? Yeah. Uh-huh. And she's not ordered anything. I've gotten into arguments with them about it before. I'm like, if you want to order alcohol, you can pay the bill. I'm not buying this. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, those are always the one-day wonders. And one girl, I can never forget it. There's several triggers. I can't stand being corrected in public. If I do something wrong, just tell me later. I'll fix it. I don't want to be made in front of a joke. I can't stand it with women walk in front of me. I'm not going to walk in front of them. They're not going to walk in front of me. They take my arm or whatever. Just be respectful of one
that.
Another.
That's weird.
Oh, my gosh. I've gone through that.
I know.
That's a major issue. But the one girl tells me she corrects me like three times at dinner one night. And I looked at her. I said, that's like the third time you corrected me. And she looked at me kind of funny because I already told her what my triggers were. And, of course, that was the end of her. I never went out with her again. She's very pretty. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be
– What did she correct you for, Ted?
Oh, because one of the things – so one thing, two things the waiter had said And then the third thing was I pushed my plate away from me. She was eating real slow. She had ordered this huge meal. She'd take it all home with her on my bill, right? And so she's eating super slow. Well, I was done. Well, there's a dirty plate in front of me. Well, the waiter had picked it up. So I moved it like 6 inches away from me so I wouldn't have my arms in it. And she goes, right. That's very rude that you move that plate before I'm done eating.
Oh, my.
I looked at her and I said, that's number three. And I said, that's fine now. And I almost got up, got the bill, had him split it, and had her pay for her own meal. I almost did that and walked out. And I probably should have done that. She was so rude. And
I can't even imagine a union with someone like that. If she does it there, she'll do it nonstop.
Oh, well, in front of everybody else. You know, that's publicly. That's just, when you publicly insult somebody or make
dangerous
them a joke or correct them, all it does is create conflict. And the conflict creates, you know, a rift between you, and you start basically, you know, separating yourself immediately, and you don't want to be around that. I had a friend of mine one time. He and his wife used to joke with each other and put each other down all the time. His name was Mike. Her name was Patty. And I told them both, I said, you guys keep doing this. You think it's funny. You guys are tearing into each other. You're taking bites out of each other when you do this. And I said, you guys are going to get divorced. And within 5 years, they were divorced because they had torn each other down so much that they no longer had a unity of spirit and they didn't want to be together anymore.
No.
And Sharon and I learned that we built each other up all of the time and we constantly built each other up. That's how we ended up having such a long, wonderful marriage because we continued to just encourage and to build each other and edify. You know, because one of my things is, you know, affirmations and physical touch and all that is, you know, part of those love language things. And so if you build each other up and you just are just kind to one another and you don't tear into each other, it's amazing how good of a relationship you can have. Because when you start tearing at the little foundations of your – see, it's the trust and the respect to create love. Trust and respect are the cornerstones, the pillars of love. And if you stop trusting people or you stop respecting somebody, you will never maintain love. You can't. It's impossible.
It's impossible. All right, we'll end it right there. It's impossible. Well done. Good you had a nice time tonight. Good. Keep that up.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate you. Guys, and all the listeners, I love you. Thanks for supporting HealthMasters.com. You guys are amazing.
All right, Ted. Thank you. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate you, my brother. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. All righty. Ted Brewer. You can hear Ted and Austin on the network Monday through Friday. Have a good weekend, everybody. Back with you Monday. In the meantime, you know where we are online, rents.com. Talk soon. Take care.